Such a man will speak. Who gives you the right to speak against him on matters of money? I'll tell you, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. The aged are not always wise, neither do the multitude of years always understand wisdom. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. That is why I had the temerity to speak up when I was doing Paul Getty. I said, sir, you lied. A man doesn't become rich by waking up early and going to bed late. And don't forget, whether you strike oil or not is of the Spirit of God. Because the Bible says it is vain to rise up early. Your experience cannot tell me that scripture is wrong. It is vain to go to bed late. That whatever you get in that process is called the bread of sorrows. It's operating under a curse. Many of the books written that by which people are trying to succeed in life, they are books of how to operate with a curse in your life. Curse is the earth because of you. The sweat of your brow, you eat bread. God said that to Adam. The men who are under a curse write a book and tell Christians how to make it. And don't ever forget, he said, from the sweat of your brows, you will eat bread. That is, some bread will drop. You are getting what I'm going to explain? I'm going to get Christians to understand something. So these outward things, these things that play outwardly, they are not the place where we put our effort. That's what I talked about, the sequence of blessings. First of all, there must be a blessing in the realm of the spirit. It must be there. It must be there. If you do not have it there, you are laboring outwardly. You are laboring for vanity. Many people, that's what I was trying to say, who did those things also did not succeed. Except that they are not allowed to talk. The Bible says that the wisdom of a poor man is despised. His words are not heeded. They're not allowed to talk. About 4 weeks ago, the edition of The Economist, if you ever got, I think, if you ever lay your hands on it, titled Where Science Goes Wrong, they show that even scientific publications, they have a problem now. I mean, just part of the system of it. That is, negative results are never published. If you try something and say, okay, how to treat a patient using this kind of combination of drugs and herbs and treatment, different kind of thing, treatment. If it didn't work, they don't publish it. In fact, the complaint inside the magazine, all right, the editor was writing that the problem now is that many people are repeating, listen to this, they are repeating processes that have been proven not to work. Because those who proved that it didn't work were not published. So billions of dollars, all right, is being wasted annually because we just will not publish the negative side of it. They tell you that, yes, you give Panadol for so and so condition for 6 months, it yields no effect. Nobody's going to publish it. They say, why should you publish that? It doesn't work. But the problem is that somebody else will try it tomorrow, and people keep on trying it, not knowing that 10 people have tried it earlier, and they have proven that it does not work. In spiritual things like that also, many people have followed those principles, 7 keys to this, 7 keys to that, and they did not succeed. But they were not allowed to write books. The pastor is not going to give him a microphone to talk. He doesn't have money. I don't know whether I get my point. He's not an anointed preacher. The area where he's supposed to speak now, he failed there. So why would the pastor give him something? It would have been nice for the man to have said, pastor, they said, wake up early. I woke up. He said, sow seed. I sow until one day I plant my hand, not going to come up from inside the earth. I plant my hand, join. I know I'm there now. So I'm going to get stuck there. If I come to your church now and I say that, look, anybody who plants this terrible seed, dangerous seed, earth-moving seed, this seed that breaks the heavens today, in 1 week, the Lord will break through upon the person. Only those who got the breakthrough will be given the microphone. 99 didn't get anything. Who's going to give them the mic? Think about it. Now, you're getting my point. So, we only give the mics to those who said, yesterday, as the pastor finished preaching, I sowed my seed. But I go home this morning, all things were no longer equal. Things have changed. Money was just raining. I passed through. I thought it was rain. I didn't know it was cash. Falling all over me. Oh, praise the Lord. Who's going to do the same thing? I wonder 100 people will join. Out of the 100, only one will get something. I'm not discussing the reason why. The 99 also will not get to share the testimony. Why? It's not because the pastor is bad or they are bad, they have nothing to say. But I have been anointed and deputized to tell you it doesn't work. Statistically, it doesn't make sense. To have the results only once out of 19, out of 100 times, and for you to tell them that's the way it works, what is wrong with you? There is one that works all the time. If we ask in the name of Jesus and ask in accordance with his will, he hears us. 100%. Works all the time. Many other things are not done in the process. Sometimes some give, and it provokes the blessing, like the widow of Zarephath. Sometimes some shut the door. The little they have, they ain't giving anybody. They are pouring it into all jars. And that's it. Sometimes they're just walking on the road and crying by themselves all alone. And one Jesus passing, we say, what's going on? Say, my son is dead. He says, stop. Little boy, I tell you, arise. It happens. Different ways, different methods, all the same God. The Bible says there are diversities of manifestations. Diversities. We cannot make a law out of one of those manifestations because it favors us, those of us that preach. We can't. We're not allowed to. What am I saying? Listen. Isaac sowed in that land. A Philistine sown in that land will have become poorer faster. He would have done better to have eaten his seed. Why? He didn't have the blessing of Isaac. He did not. The Bible didn't tell us what Isaac did actually. Because, you see, that's another thing. When God wants to bless you, and we're going to talk about that, all right? When we start this Sow in the Land series, he moves you in different directions. For example, maybe they did not understand irrigation in that place. And God caused one spring, to show up somewhere near the place where Isaac was sowing. And then, in one night vision, showed him how to track the water so that even though there was no rain falling, Isaac had a principle working in him that made him do some physical things that seemed to make sense to be able to explain his results. Are you getting my point? Maybe. The Bible didn't give us details. All it says that Isaac sowed in that land. And in that same year, he reaped 100-fold. That's all we know. Whether rain fell because of him, it's possible, but the Bible didn't say. But what am I trying to explain? The fact that he had a blessing upon him made different things work to produce for him. And the emphasis Christians, all right, where the Christians should lay their emphasis is in ensuring that that blessing is upon them. That is what I'm trying to explain. Because when we begin to talk about sowing, I mean, talk about it, all right? And of course, those who were here when I started talking about this, you understand that there are different kinds of seed, all right? There is spiritual seed, all right? And then there is physical seed. And my emphasis in the teaching is going to be on what? Physical seed. Spiritual seed is important. It's very, very important. But my emphasis in the teaching will be on physical seed. Now, why putting that emphasis on physical seed, I may just neglect to say anything about spiritual seed. It is because I assume everybody listening to me is blessed. Are you getting my point? Yes, I just assume that. Because if anyone is in Christ, he's blessed. She's blessed. The blessings of God, all right, are upon that person. I will not be teaching any principle that says that even Muslims can use it. Maybe, but I'm not teaching it to him. And some of the ones I'm teaching, he can't use it. Some of them he mustn't touch because it will make things work negatively for him quicker. Please, I hope you're getting my point. So this is how it is, the sequence of blessings. Number one, first of all, there must be blessing in the realm of the Spirit working over your life. There must be. I wrote that little book. I think it's out of print now, at least currently. But you can get it free on our website, the PDF copy, titled The Blessing. The Blessing. Please go and read it. Those are the things that people must have up there for the physical effort they are putting into life to make sense. You don't have it up there, the thing down here will make any sense. However, now, this is where we need to strike the balance. This is where a lot of Christians made their mistakes. They are blessed spiritually, like I said. First in Christ Jesus, we are blessed. And then there's power in good works. Let me just drop this for those who have not heard it before. Not targeted good works. Not let me do this so I can get this. That one doesn't have any power. That one is dead on arrival. Do you understand? But the continual doing of good works, which I preached a message on it that time, I titled the release, the, who remember the title now? The switch of God's power. I said it's the continual doing of good works. The continual doing of good works produces a blessing also in the heavens. In fact, I have the feeling, just talking about it now, that there's a way it loosens the release of the original blessing that we have in Christ Jesus. It kind of shakes it up in the realm of the spirit, ready to bring it down. And you will see Paul talk about it. I received the things that you sent, and then he commanded a blessing upon them. My God shall supply all your needs. He will speak about that. He that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, but he that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. Now, those spiritual blessings are there, very, very important. Now, this is a mistake a lot of Christians make. They have all those spiritual blessings, but spiritual blessings remain like that spiritual. And God starts asking, through which channels should I pour this thing down onto the earth? And that's what we'll begin to talk about, all right, later. Through which channel we've discussed the fact that it is not just anywhere. God will not just receive any channel from your hand. You must be in your own land of promise. God was saying to Isaac, don't go to Egypt. You get to Egypt, I can't do much for you there. You know the funny thing? If God didn't speak to him and he didn't grab the understanding, or God spoke and he said he doubted the word of God and he decided to go, he would have reached Egypt and he would have had more blessing than he had before that time. That is, there was famine in the land, he would have gone to Egypt. God could deliberately withstand him. There are times God does that, but a lot of times he doesn't bother. And that is the dangerous time, when he doesn't bother. When he just allows the fellow to reap some blessing in Egypt. I probably would have sold in Egypt. By the time he will value the cost of land, rental and all of that, maybe rented the land, and what he reaped, he will have reaped the same year, maybe fivefold. Maybe even tenfold. Or let's stretch it a bit, 15-fold. And he will have talked about the wisdom of running to Egypt for a 15-fold blessing. And this is another interesting part. If there was no other Isaac there to use to show him an example, he would never have realized that he missed a 100-fold blessing. He would never have realized it. He would have enjoyed his 15-fold blessing, his 10-fold blessing, gotten a few years, and then realize, I've made some money here. And then when he's leaving, they give him another Hagar. So, another generation of problems. Yeah, that's what happens. Another generation of problems will follow him, and he will leave there and come to the promised land, and God will have had to have that dealing again with his children first, before he can move to the next level of people like Jacob. Yeah, because, let me just drop this. Your life is not just about how much success, in quotes, you made, outwardly speaking now. It's not just about how much breakthrough we can see upon you. There are statements God must make in your life. I don't know whether you hear what I said. That is, you can say to God, if I go to Egypt, whatever your Egypt is, I will succeed. Because that is true. And you do it well in Egypt, you send some money home from Egypt, you build a house, all right, and everything is okay. But God says, you see, there is a statement I should have made with your life. I can't make it. I have to look for somebody else to make that statement through. Now, these are the things about Christianity. I said to you before, when he said, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He will have said, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and the God of somebody else. He will have deliberately jumped that Isaac part of it. Yeah. Because being I am the God of Abraham is not just describing I am God. We know you are God. Who else will have created this place? We know. Why did he add Abraham to his name? He wanted that when you are discussing some characters of him, the only way you can explain it is the life of Abraham. That there are things about the character of God that is only when you look at the life of Isaac, then you will understand. That's what was said. So if Isaac didn't obey the word of God, God would have had to jump that segment of it. Isaac would have been blessed materially, but he would have been the God of Abraham, then the God of somebody else and the God of Jacob, as an example, Isaac will have been missed. And like I say to you, and I say it again, I said it before, I say it all the time, there is no proof that Isaac and that Abraham was the first person that God called. No such proof. Because the one that did not answer the call did not write a Bible. Are you getting my point? I mean, why should you go and say, God called me, I did not answer. Will you buy the Bible? So bear that in mind when you are making decisions. It's not just about to make some 15-fold blessing. Because I have to make a statement for generations to come about the 100-fold blessing. Now, back to what I was saying. So God said, look, these blessings are up there. How do I release it into your life? You must be in your own land of promise. That land may be physical. That land may also be professional. That land may be timing. Yes, it may be chronological. As a chronology about it, that this is not the time. This is not the time. Just relax here. Wait. Tarry in Jerusalem until. Do business with this until. That land also has a chronological aspect to it. Whatever it is, God says, make sure you are there. You are in the physical area. You are in the social area, if I may use that expression. And the timing part of it. And when that time comes, you now sow in that land. That's a lot of people now make the mistake. They don't sow anything. They don't. Now we're talking about physical seed. They've sown a lot of spiritual seed. Blessing is oozing. In fact, the angels, they follow them around with blessing like this. The angel wants to pour it. I told you a story once about one man. Anytime I will hear him pray, he used to pray. The only way I can describe his tongue is rolling tongues. He used to sound like something is rolling. You know, when he's praying, and you go on and on for a very long time. Anytime I'm reading a book, Kenneth Hagin, then I remember, especially Kennedy Hagin. He loved Hagin so much. He was an older person. I would almost disrespect him for the amount of harassment he used to give to my soul. I'll bring him looking over my shoulder like this. If I'm saying that if I'm standing, no, that is, if I decide to run away, he's there, dog, why are you doing like this now? And he'll be following you about. Finally, I say, okay. Brother D, that's not his name, right? But just to, yeah. Okay, take, go and read it. Thank you. That is all the insults you rained on him, he didn't notice. As long as it was Kenneth Hagin, he will grab the book and read. And come back next day and say, dog, you just have this kind of thing, you're hiding it. But this guy didn't seem to be going anywhere. One day I asked my auntie, I said, why don't you help these brothers? Because you used to follow her around, help her do some things here and there. I want to help him get a job. He said, I have tried. I offered him, let me help you get a job. He said, no. That the money that jobs pay is not big. So he's looking for a deal that with which he'll just strike big one day. And because he was hanging around a businesswoman, he felt that this is the pathway to that big. That, you know, I look back now, it makes sense. You understand my point? That yes, you can pray these rolling tongues from now till tomorrow. You can read Kenneth Hagin, which I assume therefore means that you are practicing Kenneth Hagin. You are calling those things that be not as though they were. You were asking, believing that you have received, and trying to have, except that you are not having. You've maintained your positive confession. I just assume he did all of that. But there was a place where that thing just didn't connect. And he said, oh boy, you have to be productive. He said, no. I can't take life step by step, stage by stage. It's not allowed. I need to have this money rain down. Boom! And then go and confuse people after. Because let me tell you something. God is concerned about the story you have to tell. He is. He doesn't want to go and tell children and say, brethren, you don't need to do anything. Just stand like that. And begin to declare. Just stand. Even though you're a preacher, don't preach. You just stand on the road and declare and call those monies that be not as though they were. You're an engineer. Why should you engineer anything? Stay there first and just be declaring. Because if I allow it to happen like that, nobody will develop the next generation of phones. They won't preach the next generation of messages. They won't build the houses. They will not do anything. They will not develop anything. Why? Because they are eating. Sometimes I put food and hunger as a stimulus to help people bring out the blessing for the whole earth that I have placed inside them. Because I said, in you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. If I give you too much food, you won't bless the other nations of the earth. You know that? So God said, that's why nobody said enough answer, but you will teach a wrong lesson. A wrong lesson will be taught to people concerning how things are supposed to be done. Why? Because I bless your disobedience. And it's not good. That's why I said to you, God doesn't bless disobedience. He never. Even when the Bible said that he winked over some things. You know, in the days of ignorance, God just do like saying, don't see. He do like saying, don't see, Abby. So Abraham, what do you call it? Isaac, what is the name of that bros with 1,000 wives? Solomon. So Solo collected 1,000 women, 700 wives and 300 concubines, and God like he did not see. Abi? He winked in the time of ignorance. David, who Solomon learned it from, I hope you know that. David was one that said it. Go and read the Bible. David was into women too. God just didn't talk much about it. It was an embarrassing side of David's life. God didn't like discussing. There are things that God would just say, please don't talk about it. But go and read in between, like David. Nabal died. He said, he's dead. Please bring me his wife. God winked at this. He just overlooked it. But notice it. None of that was a blessing to any one of them. None. The only problem Solomon had in life was because of the women he married. So God never does not ever bless disobedience. He may overlook it. He may not shoot somebody for it. But that thing in itself will injure the person. So what God owes anyone who is blessed, who is walking in disobedience, is correction. It will take time. Sometimes it's a year. No, a year is a long time. The best way for God to correct you is that somebody just up to you and say, oh boy, be corrected. And you say, yes, sir. And then you are corrected, and heavens will rejoice. All the angels will be happy. But God will keep on staying there, correcting people, sometimes for years and years, using all kinds of methods. Sometimes physical slap, they will slap the face, shake his head. But God, no matter what you have to do, do it, because I cannot bless this fellow until he's corrected. That brother was telling his story. All the days I knew him, he would never made anything called progress. I look back now, I say that was the issue. God said, you have to build a connection between the heavens and the earth for me to release the blessing that you already have as yours in heaven. But many people, that's where the problem is. No, that kind of job, I can't do it. Then they go to America and do the same kind of job. You know why? Because in America, no party for jungle. That is, oh boy, you're on your own. Totally on your own. You know, in Nigeria, you can't do that kind of job because your friend, you go and visit when he's cooking. You will share the meal. And the woman said he believed that as a pastor, he should never do any other thing. And he said by himself, I look back now, it was out of order. I was pastoring a church of 4 or 6 people. It is not possible to sustain yourself pastoring a church of 4 or 6 people. And the woman said that. But one day was owing his landlord. So the landlord, I told the landlord, I'm sorry, sir. I do not have money. I will not be able to pay you on time. The landlord said, well, no problem, pastor. Come to my office and work off the rent. He said, you cannot tell a man you are owing money, you cannot work. So he walked into the office. And then, oh God, he used the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon him to work for that man so effectively that the man said, take 50% of the business. And told the man, sorry, sir, I have to preach. I can't. He was saying this maybe like 20 years later or 30 years later. He said, I made a mistake. That was not the proper way to do it. I should have been working another job. That's why that was his American expression. While doing that thing at the beginning. Because a church of 6 people, no, does not require my full-time attention. He said, what I say to one, I say to all. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. God was saying, in effect, I have blessed you, but oh boy, as things are right now, create, I need you and I, let's work together. Create an avenue through which I will pour that blessing onto this earth. But this is my emphasis for today, all right? To remind Christians again that blessings have a sequence. First of all, it is spiritual. Without the spiritual aspect of it, the physical aspect can never come. Without that spiritual aspect, the labor of the physical aspect, no matter how accurately you are copying the principles, is in vain. I emphasized that don't be deceived by all the books we are reading, in which men who succeeded wrote their stories. The Bible says it is possible they did not even understand what was going on. If you have spiritual insight, you'll be able to read between the lines. Like once, I read in Paul Getty's story. You know, it's, you have to just, you know, may God give human beings wisdom. I read Paul Getty's story, and it was so clear that it was God that gave him money. Because there was a time men ganged up against him and said, this guy, let's finish him. All of them said, they conspired amongst themselves that don't buy his oil. He wasn't refining. He was drilling and, you know, tapping it from the earth. So when all the refining people, all the people with refining capacity said, don't buy his oil. Now he was having a problem. Where do I continue to store my crude? Those wells are not free. You drill them at an expense. They have to produce to cover the cost. So the option he had was to shut some of them down and start losing money on a daily basis. He said, in fact, then the Jesus asked in the market, Get is about to drown in his own oil. And everybody was waiting for him to drown in his own oil. He was going to max out his storage capacity and then start shutting down his wells, thereby incurring unnecessary money. Money that's supposed to be paid off, he won't be able to pay it off. And one day he said, he sat down. And you know, this is where God moves in. He decided to go and talk to the MD. He said he's telling the story to let people realize. I read the book long ago, so I can't remember. But what I remember a bit about that is, I said he's telling the story to let people realize that it's not everybody that's bad. And that sometimes good fortune just shines on you. That it's not just like you can't control everything. That's the point at which God shows I'm God. He walked with the head of Shell that time. I think it was Shell, one of the big oil companies then. And he told the man his story. This is my problem. Nobody's buying. I think it's a deliberate thing. I can't continue to drill when I can't sell. My storage is full. The man looked at it and said, no problem. And that man made a single decision that prevented Getty from dying in business. One man said to him, just to his boys, oh yeah, buy Getty's oil. And once he started buying Getty's oil, the other people had to buy because that man was now getting a very good deal and their own plan to kill him had failed. That is the time in which God shows that you are not in charge, I am. Even those who have studied quantum physics, if anybody is here who understands physics, you know, they quote people like Isaac Newton, Albert Einstein, that he said that God does not play dice with the universe. And that this and this, that all the laws are in effect. And then one man said, I think it was, I've forgotten his name now, but his name if I mention, you know. The man said, if it was possible for me to know the position and the speed of every particle in the universe, I can predict the future. What I was trying to say is this. If I know how things are right now, that the order is constant, is unchangeable, I'll be able to tell you how things will be in the next 50 years. Because life has an order. But he lived before the days of quantum physics. Because quantum physics now said it is impossible to predict the position, to tell the position of a particle and tell its velocity at the same time. That is what that man said he needed to predict the future, said they said it does not exist. That is, that one is in the hand of God. The things that are revealed, you can have it. But the secret thing belongs unto God. He's also in physics. No, God, look, one day I was reading this story. What if those of you study physics, what they call matter and antimatter. That is, what happened was that somebody said, trying to explain the place where God can come in physics. And they realized that, why should a particle become a matter and not an antimatter? Physics has no answer. They said, that is a place where God can put his finger. Listen, there's nobody on this earth. If you like study physics from now, in fact, I always say that those who say there's no God are the ones who have not studied. All these philosophers, you know, those who studied history, you know what I'm saying? They just studied, maybe you're reading a lot. You're a talker, you know what I mean? Just they talk. People like Hitchkins. Is it Hitchkins? Now that's his name. The celebrated atheist. You're the talker. Nature. People like that. Just talk. Those who are settled down and dug inside, they realize. You know, the man I quote all the time, what is his name? Charles Townes. Charles Townes won the Nobel Prize of Physics in 1964. He said, the way by which I understood that principle could only have been by revelation. If I was a preacher, I would have said it's a prophet caused revelation. That's what he was trying to say. And he will tell you stories that how come Kekule had to dream? It was based on this kind of talk that they gave him the John Templeton Award in 2006. Because they realized that no matter what physical things look like, the one that's behind the spiritual is more important. I hope you are getting my point. Why did I say that? Because even people if they look closely at their lives, they will know that only God could have made them rich. Because everybody in life goes through points in which they can be made or they can be broken. Every businessman goes through that point in which they could be made or they could be broken. And this is the interesting part. Many of them, those are the times they kneel down in their homes and cry to God, please help me. And God will say, just like he said concerning, what's the name of Jezebel's husband? Ahab. Just like he said concerning Ahab. He said, look at how he has humbled himself before me. Except that Ahab, he humbled himself before God that day. The next day, he was back to his old ways. Many men, in the times of distress, they humble themselves and they are closest before God. And God says, okay, swing it the other direction, let him be made. Then he's made, he comes out again. And that's shouting against God. I said, God, look at him. God will say, look at him. I will destroy this one. That's why I told you. After reading Losing My Virginity by Richard Branson, I said, that man will die bankrupt unless he stands up one day and acknowledges God. Read his life. You just see God putting a finger here and there. So clear. Even he said it. This is what they call a miracle. His survival in moving through the current, that one up there, over the Pacific. It had to be a miracle. He said it with his own mouth. That's why I read this book. I said, you don't come out and say, thank you, God, you will die bankrupt.